Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Yeah, DJ Nation fam, you know what time it is. What's up? What's happening? It's the DJ Nation podcast, and we're coming back at you live. We're powered by the Fantasy Authority as well at FF_Authority is where you can find us on Twitter and X. Ryan Williams here at Ryan_W1/2 of the DJ Nation podcast. Joined as always by my usual suspect, the co-host who knows the most, the Godfather of TFA, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Rat 13 is where you can find him on Twitter next. Kev, it's been 2 weeks since we've been in the hopper, but we make it through the season doing the pods, giving it to the people, and we got a showdown to break down for the Super Bowl. Crazy that the Super Bowl is upon us. It doesn't really feel like it. Maybe it's because of the markets that the two teams are in. Definitely happy for him, though. Happy for the Donald Renaissance. And for those who listen to the show, the last time that we were on, you know, I was heavy on Darnold as one of my guys' sleepers. And wish I would have played more of him because he definitely did his thing and balled out. So happy for him to get there. And then, yeah, New England just like keeps just kind of like, how are they here? I just don't know. Like, when you think about how loaded the AFC is and like the start of the season on what you expect and just how porous they were a year before, and then Vrabel being there, you know, I am happy for Vrabel. You know, he definitely put some teams together there when he was at the Titans that definitely were very close to getting to the promised land. And now he finds it, you know, with this squad, with Drake May, with the way the defense has been playing. It's pretty incredible, pretty remarkable. So like from a storyline standpoint, from just a pure football standpoint, definitely excited. But for this standpoint, for the DJ Nation standpoint, Kev, we're here to break it down from a DFS perspective. Talk to the people. How you doing? How you feeling?
Doing well. You know, we made it to February. January felt like it was the longest month ever. I felt like it just never ended. But so we finally made it to February. And so we are on to Super Bowl. And, you know, I think this Super Bowl is, like, interesting. But, like, you know, I don't think it has the same cachet as some of the other previous Super Bowls we've had. It's still a 45-point total. The Seahawks, I think, are four and a half point favorites right now in this game. I think there's a clear narrative that's going on right now that the Seahawks are just going to murder the Patriots. And so, you know, if I know anything in all the years of playing Showdown, and we've been playing Showdown for, you know, a long time now, and it's actually probably my favorite way to play DFS anymore, just because I still think it's untapped in terms of, like, you know, the edges that you can get on playing a Showdown slate. And so you're going to get a lot of casuals playing in this week. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, we see it all the time, and it's like the, you know, the story of all the time is that, you know, when you have a game like this where everybody's going to be on one side, it is the smartest thing to do is jump to the other side and just build heavy Patriot stacks, because there's going to be a lot of 5-1 Seahawks, 4-2 Seahawks type stuff, probably with just, you know, Drake May and, you know, one of the pass catchers or something like that, you know, as the two options is what you're going to see. And I think if that's going to be the way things go, I would much rather jump over to the Patriots side and get the leverage from there, because, you know, so often we see that even on Showdown slates where we've seen like just like horrifically bad quarterbacks that are on there, I will still jump over to the other side, and it pays off almost always. And so I feel like there's way too much confidence that the Seahawks are just going to steamroll the Patriots, and I think it's a real avenue to attack this week for this slate. So,
I kind of agree, Kev. I couldn't agree more. You know, we've talked about Drake May a couple times. I mean, obviously with the way the playoffs have gone, right? They're here for a reason. They keep winning games, so Drake May continues to be on the slate. But like, it's almost better From my standpoint, that Seattle comes out and starts, you know, doing some things, because, you know, the way that Drake May plays on the other side, like I want aggressive Drake May. I don't want it to be, you know, a neutral game script and, you know, just trying to run the ball, trying to be careful, you know, things like that. Like, I want Seattle to like come out and punch them in the mouth, because having him, you know, play from behind, we can see him be aggressive, see him attack more with his legs potentially. I think there's some interesting weapons on the New England side that could really open things up. So, and you know, the Seattle side is tricky, Kev, for me at least. And you know, I think we'll talk about it from an overall standpoint and just, you know, break it down for the people from a captain and flex perspective as we will with Showdown. And I'm not really sure. You know, we're at Thursday now. Couple days left. I honestly don't know where ownerships are aligning, Kev, but as I've said, and I will continue to say, and it doesn't matter how, you know, how he got there the last time we did this, but anytime that Kenneth Walker is popular, I'm off of that. I'm off the side if I can find ways. Now, last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, you know, we really were in a predicament where it was kind of like, all right, you just might have to play him. And he was in that second game, right, where you could like pivot appropriately and like still get to him, whatever, just like have him on your team, but find other creative ways to build. And, you know, I'm not saying that like Kenneth Walker, I'll definitely be under the weight. I'll definitely be underweight to him in the captain spot. I think that's like the pure way to go, right? If Seattle really is taking care of business, Zach Charbonnet's being out, they want to just run the football and you know, do what have you, same way that they just did last week against the Rams. You just force feed him, right? But this New England defense, is you know, they've been playing well and they have, you know, kind of done that a little bit all season. You know, the matchup on paper isn't as enticing. And it's just weird. Like you said, it's a showdown slate, right? So trying to find ways to get different and things like that. I think you could see a lot of balanced builds, right? Where people go 3-3, New England, Seattle. I think for me, going to Seattle is kind of where I'm leaning and have four Patriots on the other side. Because I think there's more paths to success through more players on the Patriots than there are with the Seahawks. I think, you know, and maybe that is like through Kenneth Walker and JSN, and like you don't have to play Sam Darnold or anything like that. But right now for me, I think my two favorite Seahawks are Barner and JSN, who I'm willing to play both in the captain spot. You know, Barner is able to free up so much, right, for you. From the captain as far as salary goes, to be able to fit some more studs in there. And JSN needs no explanation at all. I don't care about the matchup. I don't care about who's on the other side. The volume is just it's just unbelievable. And really just, you know, he could easily on an off day, you know, still be what you need to have to be optimal. So, you know, I by no means will be fading him at all. But then when you get into the ancillary pieces of Seattle, Kev, you know, I mean, like Rashid Shaheed, Cooper Kupp, you know, the backup running back is, you know, Helani, like how much is he going to see, you know, Arroyo's activated. So we have, you know, but he was activated last week, but a healthy scratch. Now that there's 2 weeks, will he play? It's a little bit more convoluted on the New England side. It really makes it interesting because they have so many pieces that we've seen be explosive before. Hunter Henry, you know, Kayshawn Booty, even though he was quiet last week, like he has the propensity. I think Stephon Diggs is probably one of my more favorite plays on the slate. You know, we can take narrative out of it, even though, you know, you know me, Kev, like I'm always playing in there. Like, how long has this dude been waiting to get to the Super Bowl? Like, he knows he's the catalyst of this team. He probably has one of the better matchups for this offense against Seattle, and he just is the alpha like on this team. Drake May's got to find ways to get him the ball. I think he's definitely one of my more favorite GPP plays on the slate. The running back, you know, slate for them is a little bit dicey. I think Drake May is a slam dunk regardless of how you want to play him, captain or not. But Drake May, you know, he does it with his legs, right? I think he can get some of these ancillary pieces involved. Even the one-off wide receivers, right? Kyle Williams, Pop Douglas, like you think about it from that perspective. If they're going to get steamrolled, you can find more ways to make sense of the 4-2 New England. So I am going to monitor that, Kev. I'll give the floor to you. I am going to monitor like construction builds, but I think for right now that's kind of how I'm leading. Let me get to two surefire Seattle pieces, right, that we've been able to trust all along, but we don't need to like onslaught them, quote unquote, necessarily, because that's just not how their offense is designed, at least in my opinion. But from the path of, you know, if Seattle is really going to take control of this thing, let's get New England on the other side. Drake May can do some stuff to spread the ball around, and we can do it that way. How are you feeling about this slate, Kevin? And what are you thinking are the ways you're going to attack it as we stand right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I think just starting off, I think my favorite captain play, because I mean, JSN is JSN and Drake May, I think, are going to be the two most popular captains. Because of Drake May's rushing upside, JSN, obviously it's JSN. Yeah. And, you know, he's like the most elite player that's even on this slate. I mean, he's priced that way. I mean, he is over $1,000 more expensive than, you know, or at least at the captain spot, $600 more expensive than Drake May on here. But I think Stephon Diggs is a really good play here, 8,600. Yeah. He's probably my favorite captain play on this slate for a lot of things we talked about. But also just, like, if you look last week now, you know, because here are the things that I think what's going to have to happen here. Like, we have seen through three games now, Drake Mays get absolutely destroyed because Will Campbell cannot hold anybody, stop anybody on that left side. Yeah. And you're going to see a lot of quick pressure coming from Seattle. Seattle's defense is just as good as, you know, it's right there with the Texans defenses or the Broncos defense. It's one of the best in the league. And they do a really good job of getting pressure on their quarterback. And I think you're going to try to see the Patriots get the ball out of Drake May's hands as quickly as possible. You know, they're going to try to run the ball, but that is not a recipe for success when it comes to playing the Seattle Seahawks. Their run defense has been one of the best in the league all year. And so I think you're going to see a lot of dump-offs, and I think you're going to see a lot of quick passing, and I think that's going to benefit Stephon Diggs, who primarily plays from the slot. If you look at the way the Rams attacked this defense last week, now, obviously, you know, Puka Nacua, obviously, but Nacua last week was targeted 7 times from the slot last week, you know, against this team. And so I think, you know, it ran a ton of routes. That's exactly what Stephon Diggs does. Stephon Diggs runs over 60% of the routes from the slot. And so I think that you could definitely see him last week. You know, he ran 72% of the routes, 29% target per route run rate. But I think that, you know, Diggs, I think, really could have a big week here. Yep. So I like Diggs as probably a little bit lower owned captain. I think he'll probably be low 10% range or below. I don't think he's going to draw near the captain ownership that he probably should. I think he's probably my favorite captain play, $8,600. And that's kind of when you have these high-priced guys like JSN and Drake May on the slate, like that's kind of what you're wanting, because it kind of opens up the rest of the slate for you if you play Stephon Diggs, you know, or if you can find somebody that you're in love with that's even cheaper than that, then it really opens things up to get all the studs in, everybody that you want in to play, versus trying to jam in, you know, JSN at captain. And, I mean, JSN could definitely get there. Like, JSN could have, you know, 10 for 150 and 2, like, well within the range of his outcomes. But betting against that, I think more often than not, he's probably not going to get there. Now, I'm not saying that you wouldn't want him in the flex, but I'm saying as a captain spot, like, he – with building with him in your lineup, most lineups are going to be really predictive, and you're going to have a ton of dupes. And with Showdown, that's what we're trying to avoid. We don't want to, you know, the worst thing possible is if you take down a Showdown slate and you are splitting it with 40, 50, 100 people, especially if you're playing in like these lotto styles with the 300,000 injuries, you might be splitting it up with 400 different people, which at that point, you're not winning a damn thing. And so, like that's what I want to avoid. I would rather, you know, lose than have that happen, I guess. I want it all to myself. And so for me, I think going Stephon Diggs is my favorite way to go. I think as far as the ancillary pieces for that offense, I think you can definitely look at Hunter Henry You know, at times the Seahawks have been had by tight ends. Now, Henry's been super volatile this year, but you know, on a showdown slate, I think he makes sense as well. You know, in the flex. Now, the big question is going to come, and I think from what I'm seeing, there seems to be a lot of ownership gathering around Mac Hollins. He's $3,600 on this slate. Now, last week he was targeted. You know, he's targeted twice. He's the downfield threat. But he ran a really limited number of routes. Now, he was coming back from injury, so maybe that had more to do with it. But still, you know, it wasn't – he only ran last week 12 routes. Now, again, really gross game environment. But he is definitely, you know, the outside downfield threat in this offense. And that's typically something the Seattle has done a pretty good job with, is limiting that. They typically play, try to keep everything in front of them. They're going to be a bend but don't break defense. They're not going to allow you to, you know, have big chunk plays like that. So I am less inclined to go with somebody like him. I think DeMario Douglas, I think, is a little bit more, you know, and he's not going to carry anywhere close to the ownership that Mac Hollins is going to. And so, like, just getting a little bit different, I like him as an option on the Patriots side as well. And then we have to talk about the difference between, you know, so – on one hand, I get it. Rhamondre Stevenson, $8,800. The dude is absolutely taking over the backfield. So I get that. Like, last week, he played 93% of the snaps. Like, he was the entire backfield. Travion Henderson didn't touch the field. But I also feel like that was way more dependent on the game environment, the script, the environment outside, I think had more to do with it. Like, this offense needs explosive plays, right, against the Seattle defense. Do we see Travion Henderson get more involved? And it makes it a lot easier because Rhamondre's in this weird spot where he's 8,800. He's like the fifth most expensive player on this slate. You're already facing a defense that's incredible against the run. But if Travion could get some pass catching work here in this game, he's only $3,800. I think he could be a real X factor in this game, along with George Halani. I think Halani's also another one of those, you know, I mean, how often this year on showdown slates have we been talking in the chat? We're like, oh, this you know, the RB2 was the guy that you needed, right? Yeah. And George Halani's $2,400. But the positive is, last week, Kenneth Walker, it didn't really change all that much. He still played 61% of the snaps. He had 73% of the rush attempts, but he only ran 27% of the routes. He was targeted four times, but George Halani actually ran 42% of the routes. And so he was much more of the preferred pass catching third down back. And so I don't mind George Halani either at 2,400. But how do you feel about these running backs like Travion Henderson?
Yeah, the running backs are interesting, Kev, to talk about, because Kenneth Walker is going to be, first of all, he's by far the most popular at the position. Don't even need to talk about that, because that's clear. He's probably going to be one of the more, you know, optimized favorite, sim favorite, you know, captain plays. Kenneth Walker is going to be one of the more favorite plays there. So I expect his ownership, you know, to be strong. Now, it gets tough, right? To play him, JSN, and Drake May in a lineup, you gotta get creative, right? You really have to make some things happen. But, you know, Rhamondre, it's tough, Kev, because I really like Rhamondre. I thought obviously the fumble issues have been a thing throughout his entire career. We saw that even come to fruition earlier this season when Travion was getting work. But Travion is definitely a liability in the backfield. It's kind of ironic, right? Like, we've seen Stevenson be in the doghouse before, right, with this squad, but under a different regime. And now I kind of feel like the same treatment is being had with Travion, who does, you're right, Kev, like, has these explosive plays. We saw it even to begin the season. Like, the dude, what is it, the first preseason game, he takes his, you know, the kickoff return back or whatever, like, and it was just like, oh, damn, it's Travion Henderson season if you didn't draft him. But you know, he has fallen out of favor, I feel like, with Vrabel, and I think that does carry some weight. Like, it's become a propensity. You look at the numbers more than I do, but like, the running back share of the backfield that Stevenson has had in the playoffs is kind of daunting, and to just flip it on the script like that, crazy would be shocking, right, in the Super Bowl. But I think the thing that becomes interesting, Kev, as you alluded to it, like the discrepancy in price is interesting, and it only takes one play. It just takes one play. Like, can he break that one playoff at his price tag to really pay it off? And that's what's really intriguing to me for him at 3,800. It's tough to like really try to favor Stevenson at 8,800 with the guys who are priced around him. I mean, you know, you got Stephon Diggs, who's just $200 cheaper, who I like a little bit more in this matchup. Kenneth Walker is $1,000 more. Like, you know, Sam Darnold is $2,000 more. To be able to fit Stevenson into lineups, you got to get creative at the bottom. So I do think Travion is a sharp call. I think where I would want to play him would be in a trailing game script. I think I would want to play him. I definitely wouldn't play him with Stevenson, I don't think. I'd be apt to play him, you know, in some lineups that have, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba or Kenneth Walker or a Seattle captain. I think it is getting a little bit cute to play him at captain, although what happened would be you play Travion at captain, right? You think that explosive play is one of the only explosive plays that happens. You play defenses, you play kickers, you play JSN and probably Drake May, and you call it a day. And that's how you're banking on that lineup being successful. But it that would be hard pressed for me to do. Not in, you know, I'd probably do it in this large like $20 flagship that we have. But in single entry, you know, I do think he makes for an interesting flex play just because, you know, it is showdown. Like on a 2-game slate, on a 4-game slate, you know, to get to him when we have other options felt like a little bit dicey. But if we can, you know, he could go out there and only on a couple snaps pay off that $3,800 price tag. So I think there's some merit there. Especially with the other guys who you're mentioning, like a Matt Collins or, you know, Shahid or even Halani, who's, you know, what is that, $1,600 or $1,400 less expensive. That could pay off. That could pay off for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's just super explosive. Like, I mean, all he needs is one play. If he takes one to the house, I mean, yeah, he's going to be awesome on $3,800. Like, you don't need him to do a ton on a slate like this to, like, you have to switch your mind, like your thought process, I guess, when it comes to showdown, because see it all the time, right? You know, somebody comes out of nowhere and catches a touchdown, a tight end, you know, if Elijah, because that's also a huge pivot point for this slate, is if Elijah Arroyo plays or not, because prior to that, his injury, like, they were basically almost splitting snaps. They were on the field a lot at the same time as well, him and A.J. Barner. And A.J. Barner has been able to go out there and run all of the routes. And so if Arroyo is back, I think I would have interest as well in Arroyo at $1,200. It's another
cheap for sure,
because he's going to see the field. And so, like, and I would probably be less interested in A.J. Barner's $4,800 because of that. So, like, he's going to be something that we're definitely going to need to monitor. You know, I've seen people asking, like, Seahawks beat reporters if they think he's going to be active or not today. So, you know, we'll see on that, because, like, he would be a huge, you know, place to go to. But when it comes to showdown, more so than, I mean, we want our lineups to tell a story anyways, but showdown, it's 100% you're trying to tell a story of how you think this game's going to go. And so you know, if you think the Seahawks are going to get out quickly, then yes, I think going, you know, Drake May passing attack, I think, is where you're going to want to get to. And so that's why, you know, like, Travion Henderson, I think, is interesting. Now, all the data says not to play him because, like, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, he didn't play at all. Like, he, like, not at all. Like, he played 4 snaps. Mm-hmm. So, like, and it's definitely in the range of outcomes. But if he's probably not going to carry any ownership whatsoever, 2 weeks to game plan, you know, I just think that there is enough there and there's enough juice with him that he could pay off.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really interesting play in tournaments to separate yourself. And you know, sometimes we think about it like, you know, you know, from a showdown standpoint, like, okay, if what's his face, if or like Jake Bobo, let's take him for example, Kev, like he catches the touchdown last week, like what's happening here? Like Jake Bobo's catching a touchdown, you know, Phil's tilting, and like, yeah, in a $300,000 tournament, like some of these flagships are, like that might make a difference, you know. In single entry, it might not make all too much of a difference, but like he's not George Halani. Like he's not a George Halani backup. He does have some weight. It's just they haven't been able to trust him. But you know, if we could see things go differently, you know, what happens if the Patriots come out and smack him in the face and, you know, turn Sam Darnold back into the pumpkin that everybody thinks he was, you know, last week. And, you know, there's a lot of turnovers and they're playing from a lead. You know, does that mean Henderson gets more involved? Like, we have no idea what that kind of looks like from that standpoint. Or, you know, if they're trailing, like, can he get, you catch some more passes out of the backfield? Although Stevenson has been that guy. So it makes me a little bit nervous in a Patriots game script to play him. But like I said, it only takes one. And, you know, for him to be that much more or that much less expensive than the next guy is definitely interesting. So, yeah, backup running backs for life, for sure. Kev, who, like, outside, so I think for you, like, you talked about Stephon Diggs, the captain. I think you, there's some other, who else besides Stephon Diggs are you favoring at captain as it stands right now?
I mean, I think outside of, like, the most obvious, you know, like, the JSNs of the world or mm-hmm. Drake May, I do think that, like, Cooper Kupp, I think, is in play as well. Like, he's been getting okay. more involved, scored a touchdown. Saw six targets last week. Like he's 5,200. It's another way that if you want to fit in all the studs up top, like I think you could play Cooper Kupp at 5,200. So I don't mind him as another option, because like I said, like I think the goal is going to be trying to find some of these little bit lower pay down spots to be able to get in all the guys at the top that you want to play. And so I'm perfectly okay with going like a Cooper Kupp. I think Rashid Shaheed's also interesting, but like, I mean, he's just not seeing like the requisite target share you want. Like he would have to, you know, catch a couple long touchdowns or something like that. Or, you know, return a touchdown and also, you know, house call one, I think, to really be optimal. But I prefer Cooper Kupp as another pay down option. Like I don't mind AJ Barron. I know you brought him up. Like he's not a terrible play, but I do wonder. It really lessens my how much I love him as a play if Arroyo were to be active. But so for me, outside of the top, like you know, the most obvious JSN, Sam or Drake May, those two, and even Kenneth Walker is going to be in that conversation. Though Kenneth Walker worries me because the Patriots' run defense, you know, with Milton Williams, has been phenomenal in the 14 games with mm-hmm. Milton Williams. They've allowed 3.05 yards per carry and a 49% stuff rate, which is top three in the league. So, like, they have been excellent against the run and stopping the run. And so, really, with him, it's going to be stopping the explosives if they can do that. It sounds like Robert Spillane should play as well. So, like, if they can't get the running game going, and, like, he's involved in the passing game. He saw four targets last week or 2 weeks ago against the Rams. Like, he can be. But, like I said, They looked like they still trusted George Halani to be more of the pass catching back. He ran 42% of the routes. Like that could really hurt Kenneth Walker, you know. And so, like, I'm okay with being underweight on Kenneth Walker for what his ownership is probably going to be. But if you're going to play Kenneth Walker, I think you play him at captain, and then you probably build a lineup where, you know, the Seahawks really put it to the where you'd probably want to play the Seahawks defense.
Do you live for Sunday dinner and that slow-cooked all-day flavor of a pot roast that falls apart with a dull spoon? Thanks to Omaha Steaks, I'm never shy about the proteins when it comes to Sunday dinners at our house. Every steak is aged to perfection to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to https://omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
And, you know, if you want to play, honestly, Jason Myers, like, I know we don't ever talk about kickers because, you know, we're on the main slate. But I talk about kickers a lot, throughout the season season-long stuff. Jason Myers was an absolute dog this year. He's best kicker in the league. He averaged 12 fantasy points per game this year as a kicker. So, like, I would probably want to play him in that lineup as well. And, like, maybe you have, like, one or two Patriots in there, like a 4-2 Seahawks stack if you're going to play Kenneth Walker. Because he's $9,800, he's so expensive. Like, I would rather bet that if I'm going to play him at captain, he's going to go off and he's going to have a big game. Versus, you know, paying that much and he gets you 12 fantasy points.
Yeah, I think you kind of stole the thunder from me, Kev. I think Jason Myers is my favorite, like, play on the slate from a flex standpoint. I think that I, for me personally, like, this game feels under, just feels the play from the under. I think that the Patriots red zone defense has been I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just from, like, following them and, like, having actually had the Patriots in fantasy season long fantasy, they just are a bend don't break defense. Like, I don't feel like they give up a lot of stuff when it comes to the red zone. So I could really see, you know, them being able to get down there, but, you know, Myers is kicking a 30, 40, 50. And like you said, he's been one of the most reliable and consistent kickers. He's one of my favorite plays. Like, it's $5,400. You plug him in, like, makes a ton of sense. Can, you know, who can get me double digit points, you know, in that range. I definitely like him more. And, you know, I love Barner, but I'll play him over Barner, play him over Cup. The guys that fall in this range, I'm just going to plug him in and want to pick your brain on the defense and kickers. But for me, at Captain Kev, I think, you know, I do think there's merit. You know, the popular guys are going to be JSN, Kenneth Walker, but hands down, no doubt about it. I think that Stephon Diggs, I love him. I could see myself playing Diggs a good decent amount at captain, and I think I will have a line or two that does have AJ Barner at captain that could even have, you know, probably, you know, maybe AJ Barner and Kenneth Walker and Stevenson, where it's like, you know, these guys are putting up production, but Barner, you know, steals the touchdown. He's been used, like, in the red zone, like, at running it in, you know, tush push type of thing, and, you know, got red zone targets. He's kind of used all of, but it hasn't come to fruition yet in the playoffs. But, like, I've been playing him so much that I just can't, you know, I can't in good faith, like, be talking about him and then Super Bowl biggest game not playing him. So I get it. You know, I hear what you're saying. Kev Arroyo would put a wrench in that, but I want to see more, have that picture painted a little bit more for me before we get there. But yeah, Kev, as it relates to flex, you know, I did want to, you know, pick your brain as well on these. You know, you mentioned Jason Myers already, but what about the New England kicker on these defenses on the other side? Because, like, for me, I am thinking that, you know, it plays a little bit under, and this is kind of the tale as old as time with Showdown. For those who aren't familiar with it, you know, you could be playing this, and, like, especially if you're expecting a low scoring game. These defenses, right, they start off with 10 points, they're getting sacks, you know, things aren't happening. We kind of saw it already, even in the New England and Denver game 2 weeks ago, right, Kev? Like, these defenses were just, you know, the weather was playing a factor, but the defenses were just so stout. And, like, you know, the thing about playing the defenses is, you know, okay, a guy goes out, makes a catch, and, you know, gets a couple yards, like, that's already 1 point plus whatever yards he's accumulating, right? So it just takes away, chips away at the defensive score a little bit. But when things aren't happening, when things are moving, you know, defense is making a hole, they're getting a stop, they're getting a sack, they've already started with those points. So if this game ends up being, you know, one of these ugly Super Bowls that we've seen in the past where points can't be scored, the defenses could make, you know, really make a mark and make a name for themselves. I mean, you know, you do have Sam Darnold on one side for New England. Like, they've been opportunistic. We know what the Seattle defense can do on getting pressure. They could be opportunistic. How are you feeling about the defenses in the New England kicker as well?
I mean, I always hate playing defenses just because I feel like more often than not, they're not optimal. but like, and it's just the way that I always build. And, you know, don't
if you had to, if you had to play one, Kev, which one, who would you play first? Seattle or New England?
It'd be Seattle just because I think their ability to get to the quarterback. We've seen Drake May at times, and especially the playoffs, really struggle. You know, like I've already mentioned, Will Campbell, it's a turnstile over there. You know, the Seahawks are one of the best defenses in the league, like could really create a lot of problems for Drake May if he's not able to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And so, I mean, Seattle, and they've been an opportunistic defense as well. You also have Rashid Shaheed returning kicks. So, you know, if he takes one out to the house, then like, you know, yeah. So it would be Seattle. As far as the kickers are concerned, you know, like I already mentioned with Jason Myers, but something else to keep in mind that when it comes to the Seahawks is that they have not been a team that have, like, they're not one of these teams like, you know, Dan Campbell that's going to go for it a ton on fourth down. They're actually the least. They've only, throughout the regular season, they only went for it on fourth down 12 times this year, which is by far the lowest. The next closest was 19, and that was the Houston Texans. And so, like, they just barely went for it on fourth down, which is good news for a kicker, right? Like, that's what kills a lot of kicker upside is that these teams will just go for it on fourth down and take away those opportunities for your kickers, where that's just not what Seattle has done all year. They have been much more, you know, take your points, you know, take your medicine, whatever, and just we're just going to get our points and we're going to keep it moving and trust our defense. So that's where I mean, Jason Myers, I definitely think is definitely in play. Like I said, he's been one of the best kickers in the league this year, converted to almost 20 plus field goals of 40 plus yards. Obviously that's huge for, you know, for this, you know, we're trying to get, you know, the 4 and 5 plus points from these guys. And so like Jason Myers, I just think is an incredible play this year or this week. And like I said, they're just a team that doesn't really go for it a whole lot. Now, as far as Borgalis is concerned, he's a lot more inconsistent. He really started the year, really struggled out of the gate. He started to get better as the year went by, especially the second half of the season. The Patriots are a little bit more of a team though, that will go for it a little bit more often. They're a little bit more middle of the pack in terms of, you know, doing that. And especially if they get down, I can see them being well more aggressive, which would take something away from Borgalis. So that's where I think that I like Jason Myers a lot more than Borgalis. I don't hate him. He's not necessarily somebody that is going to he's been in terms of like deep field goals, he has not really been asked to do that. He is near the bottom of the league in terms of 50 plus yard field goals and 40 plus yard field goals this year. And so where, you know, Jason Myers is connected on 13 of 40 to 49 plus yards. And then from 50 plus, he's at 9. Only 3 other kickers have had more. So there's a lot of talk about kickers. You're not going to get that from a lot of other places. But with that being said, I do think Jason Myers is the one that I would definitely lean towards between the two of them. And honestly, if this game does go under, and like if you think this game's going to be under, you think it's going to be a low-scoring game, you could play Jason Myers at the captain. Like, I know it's crazy. I'm not saying like, I think it's an excellent play, but we've seen it before where, you know, these games that are really low scoring, if that's what this turns into be, and then Jason Myers could end up being the optimal captain. If they go down and ask him to kick, you know, 3 or 4 field goals in this game, he could be the optimal captain. So like, I don't hate it. If you're building a lot of lineups, like I probably would have, you know, a few with Jason Myers at captain.
Yeah. No, he's definitely in play for a captain for sure. In a game you expect to be low scoring. Kickers can definitely pay off dividends. This is like you said, it's a Super Bowl. Like, are these teams really going to be going for it at the propensity these two coaches at the propensity we think, or are they just going to take the points and settle for that? So I think there's merit there for sure. He's able to, you know, get some really make a solid lineup with Myers at captain. Even Helani to a certain extent, like if you really wanted to jam in studs and play him at the captain at only 3,600 of what it would cost you, makes it interesting. But yeah, it's like I'm not willing to. I think like kicker and defense, from the same team is always one that I try and play around with when I'm doing my showdown builds. Kicker and defense from the opposite team might have a little bit of merit. I think I like that for GPPs. But, you know, getting three, like getting two kickers and a defense is one, like, I don't know that I'll get there. Even expecting a low scoring game, like with the pieces there, it just, that one, that doesn't pay off weight for me. You know, playing two defenses is not one that I'm going to lean into, but you know, if I had a chance to play a kicker in the defense or kicker in defense from opposing team, I might play around with that. I'm always going to lean on the side of, you know, on a PPR site, especially like DraftKings, trying to get some of these pass catchers in, or these guys who are cheap but can do something are still going to carry some weight. But yeah, man, I mean, it's kind of stuff sledding after you know, these top guy. I mean, really after Barner, like it's just like roulette, you know, with Shaheed and Henderson and Hollins, who's going to be popular, which is just kind of gross to me. But I guess I get it from an explosive standpoint. I do think that, like, a guy who we haven't talked about, like the tight ends at all from the New England standpoint, which I think is worth, you know, kind of positioning on. Hunter Henry is always so frustrating. I feel like he only gets there if he hits pay dirt. And then anything that happens between the 20s is just kind of whatever. But Austin Hooper is an interesting one. Because he's just always kind of out there, right? Like he's always kind of out there in the red zone. You know, they can tend to go 12 personnel. He's only 2K, so definitely, you know, provide some salary relief there. I think he definitely has some merit to be able to fit himself into my lineups for sure from a flex standpoint to kind of save salary. You know, especially when we're talking about like touchdown hunting, in what this could be, I could see him getting going there. There's really not too many cheap guys that I'll, go to outside of, you know, 2K will probably be him. I'm not going to chase Jake Bobo from last week. I think, you know, anybody who played him last week, he kind of made do with that and you got what it was. Arroyo, I would need to see him be active and kind of hear a little bit more of the beaten drum to play him. But yeah, I think roster construction is going to be huge. I think, you know, for me, the cheap guys to put in at the captain outside of a kicker would be like Helani. Try and fit in studs. I wouldn't do like a Hooper at captain, but I think for him in the flex makes a ton of sense. Henderson would probably be the only one that I would consider at captain in GPPs, based on you know, what's built around there. But yeah, Kev, I think we got it pretty straightforward from that standpoint. Are there any other angles that you see here that we haven't touched on?
No, I mean, I guess we didn't, you know, speaking of the Patriots tight ends, I will say, you know, in the playoffs so far, you know, from the wild card on, you know, Hunter Henry is third on the team in targets with 11. He also runs a lot of the routes from the slot. So since, you know, the wild card round, Stephon Diggs leads the team with 42 routes run from the slot. Hunter Henry is second with 37. So, you know, we talked about you really want to target this team from the slot. You know, I think that, you know, maybe, you know, you see a little bit more of Hunter Henry there. So I do think that he is definitely in play as an option here. You know, I don't mind the Hooper call. I mean, we see it all the time. Guy catches a, you know, a 10-yard touchdown, and all of a sudden they become optimal. So, like, I do not mind whatsoever. You know, yes, but it all comes down to, like, how many lineups you're playing. If you're just playing a couple lineups, no, I'm probably not playing Austin Hooper. But, you know, if you're going to look to 20 max, and what I would recommend, and not playing the one with 300,000 entries or the 200,000 entry, you know, multi-entry tournaments, I would wait, because eventually, probably come Saturday or even Sunday morning, they will eventually release more where it's not nearly as packed. Because like on a normal showdown slate, like on a Monday night showdown slate or a Sunday night game, Thursday night game, you're talking like usually like 70 to 80,000 entries into one.
Yep.
This is 300,000. And so I would wait if I was going to multi-enter, because they are going to release some other ones, because these will get filled, and they will release some other ones that, you know, the prize pools may not be as fancy, you know, with as big as they're probably going to be. But You know, it still probably will be something where, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 to the top, which I would much rather play in that and have a much better shot of actually winning it versus going up against 300,000 lineups where you're everything's going to get covered. And, you know, your chances of really doing anything substantial is probably not very high. So it's more of like a lottery at that point. So that's something I would wait for. But without getting too far off track, but the Patriots, I do think the Hunter Henry is probably a pretty solid play. And I will say if Arroyo plays, I probably would substantially put Henry above A.J. Barner as a play.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, and you'll pay pay the price tag for it too. I think what Hunter Henry comes in at 7K, Barner is at 4,800. Yeah, so a little bit of leverage there. But yeah, we haven't had the Hunter Henry, you know, what do I want to call it, experience maybe since I guess we can allude to, you know, the wild card round against the Chargers where he catches a touchdown. I mean, that's really what you need. If he finds pay dirt, you know, he's probably putting up double digit points, probably close to like 15 there. You know, Cincinnati, I mean, we were playing tight ends against Cincinnati every fucking chance we got, but that was like his lone game where like he was so explosive where I would feel like I need to have him at the captain. Although I think in this game, if like touchdowns are a premium and Hunter Henry gets one of the only touchdowns in the game, captain does make sense if you can talk yourself into that. For him, still playing like that, you know, I probably would still get to like four Patriots in that regard, and only two Seahawks, maybe three. I don't know. I think the construction is going to be key in these tournaments that you're alluding to, Kev. You know, trying not to get as balanced, trying to get to the 4-2s, the 5-1s, and really, you know, taking advantage of where you feel like the points are going to come from. But yeah, no, Hunter Henry is probably due. That's the best way I can put it. He's probably due. So I'm not talking about him. I like Diggs so much more that I'm not thinking about that. Kev, what do you say we try and build a lineup for the people?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't even know. It's been 2 weeks, so I don't even know who's going to start it off and whatnot. I'm going to start it off, Kevin. I usually feel like I give you the honors, but last show of the year. And shout out to, you know, before we do this, shout out to DJ Nation for rocking with us all season long. It's been, you know, definitely for me, this is my first time back in a while doing shows with Kev, as we consistently doing. Started the DJ Nation podcast from the ground, really literally from the ground, to be able to do this stuff. And we just love being able to chop it up with you guys, chop it up with the DJs who are out here in these DFS streets, just doing what we do, having fun with it, and trying to make turn a nickel into a dime. That's where it comes from. So DJ Nation, we appreciate you. Definitely love you guys, and it's been fun. Can't believe it's the last show of the season. Kevin and I always get excited to get back into the hopper, talk shop, and we're gonna be going back into fucking groundhog season not too long. But it's been fun, been definitely fun, and excited to do one last ride with the lineup built for you guys. And it wouldn't be a DJ Nation podcast if we didn't go after the flagship here, the Millie Maker, 1 million of first for Super Bowl. That's a $20 entry, but yeah, 264,000 and some change entries is who you got to take down. With that being said, Kev, I'm just gonna, you know, cop out, and I'm gonna throw George Halani in into the flex and see what we can do from there.
Give me Diggs a captain.
Let's go. Well, we got to have Drake May then in the flex. Throw him in. So we, with Stephon Diggs a captain, George Halani, Drake May, that gives us 7,900 per position to keep it going.
I mean, we're going to have to throw in JSN.
Have to. Especially when you have the salary. Now, this is where it gets interesting, Kev. I mean, we could literally go – no, we can't. We can't do it. I thought we'd be able to get Jason Myers and Hunter Henry and just call it a day. But it looks like we won't be able to do that. So let's play around here, see what we got. So we're probably looking at two tight ends. I mean, I'll likely go Barner. That gets us to Henry. In order to play Walker, we're looking at Hooper instead of Henry, which is hilarious, or Arroyo. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, it would probably be Barner or Walker in this lineup. I don't know if we play Myers, like 6,700, just it doesn't get us to Henry. So we'd have to pivot a little bit if you wanted to play that.
How would you feel about pivoting? Now, I guess we don't know if he's going to play it or not. Because, like, so if you play it, so the way I look at this, like, with this would be, if you're going to play the tight end, you have JSN, you have Helani, who's the pass catching back, right? But I'm like, man, mm-hmm. if you're having all these pass catchers, then you're probably going to want Darnold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, because we already have Diggs and Drake May, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like, if you went down to Arroyo,
mm-hmm.
you could play anybody you want. You could play Darnold. You could play Sam Darnold, which I think would make the most sense in something like this. Because of, and you're going to be different because Arroyo is going to carry, if he's active, he's going to have very little ownership. I don't think Helani will probably, I would say, probably be in that 20 to 30% range. He's going to carry ownership. He's 2,400. But I don't think it's going to be crazy. And I think Diggs is not going to carry the captain ownership. And I think this is, especially in a 200,000 entry field, this is going to be different enough.
I like it. I like
now,
it.
Now, if Arroyo plays, then yes, you would want to, or if Arroyo doesn't go, then you know what you could do would work. You could go Ramondre and then DeMario Douglas, and that fits. So you get you're at two Seattle, two Seahawks, JSN, and Helani,
mm-hmm.
and then you have Diggs, Stevenson, Drake May, mm-hmm. and Douglas. You could go there too.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
If he doesn't play, but right now I without knowing for sure, I do like the Arroyo and
Sam Darnold. I like that too. I like that play too because I think that it even though I talked about 4-2. New England at nauseam, it feels like on this show, 4-2 in any regard, I think is definitely where stuff can pay off dividends. I think that we, you know, you dodge, first of all, like already we're getting different, not having Kenneth Walker, right? You don't have the New England running back on the other side too. Not playing Hunter Henry, not playing Cooper Kupp, guys who I expect to be popular as well. So this lineup definitely has some legs to separate itself in a tournament like the one that we are entering in.
And something to think about too would be, so like, you know, would be as well where Drake May uses legs a lot. Like, I mean, he has had 40 or more right. rushing yards at three of his last four games. So like, if he rushes in a couple touchdowns and he, you know, the running backs don't get there, like Drake May could soak up a lot of this production himself as well. So like, even getting the two, you know, it can definitely just be enough.
No, absolutely. For sure. I mean, it really does. You hit on the head, Kev, like, and even from my standpoint, from a low scoring, like, but you're still not getting like production out of the kickers necessarily, or like they're not making enough of a dent, but like Diggs scores a touchdown, May runs one in. On the other side, like Sam Darnold, he's spreading the ball around. Like Jackson Smith and Jigba, you just play him, but the touchdowns might not go through him. Helani catches one. Arroyo catches another. Like that's just how you tell it, and the running backs don't do anything. So I do like this team a lot. Putting it in 4.5 Super Bowl millionaire contest, the $20 entry flagship there, and that's it. That'll put a bow on the DJ Nation podcast for this season, for the year. Kev, you got any final words to tell the people before we sign off one last time for this season?
I mean, it is a Super Bowl, so like, do you have any plans? Are you going anywhere for the Super Bowl? We didn't even talk about that.
No, yeah, fair, yeah. Let's open it up. So, no, not going anywhere. Like I said, if it wasn't for Twitter and social media, I might not even know that the Super Bowl was happening on Sunday. That's just how not prevalent I feel like it is right now for me. But maybe go to the in-laws who don't live that far. Just, you know, meet up with some fam for a little bit. But I think, you know, I'll be able to watch it at least the second half for sure. Comfort of my own home. You know, which is nice, you know, not just having a lot riding on it, just sit back, enjoy the game. And, you know, Kev, before we toss it to you, I feel like you probably have a stronger opinion on this than I do, but how do we get the Monday after the Super Bowl to be a national holiday? Like this has to happen.
Well, I mean, that or just move it to a Saturday. I don't know, but actually next year, the Super Bowl's on Valentine's Day.
That's right. Yeah.
So like next year's schedule is crazy. Cause I was looking at it like week 18 is not even until like almost halfway through January next year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's like January 10th, 11th or something like that. I think is that Sunday. Like I'm like, cause it's everything's pushed back. So next year is wild, but yeah, the Super Bowl is going to be Thanksgiving. It's going to be Valentine's Day next year, which is wild too. So we need to do something. Normally I take off the day after the Super Bowl, but you know, this year, you know, as being a Chiefs fan, you know, I kind of feel kind of, you know, been seeing the Chiefs in it so much. So it's kind of weird, but, yeah, right. I mean, but then again, I mean, Patriots fans are like, hold my beer, like as much as they've been in the Super Bowl the last 20 years. So, I'm not going anywhere either. The last couple of years we Chiefs are in it, but this year they're not. We're just going to stay home and
that's probably for the best. You know, just recharge the batteries, figure out what it's going to be like to see the Chiefs in Kansas instead of Missouri. You know, that type of thing. So,
It's funny too. My brother actually grew up like he's been a Patriots fan like well before like the Brady years. Like he was a fan back when they had like Drew Bledsoe and
really.
Yeah. So, but like, so he's all like, you know, he's happy about it. Like, you know, we for That's years, awesome. You know, before the Chiefs, you know, went on this run was like, you know, we all hated on him, you know, hated on fuck the Patriots and all this stuff. So now he's back, but I talked
about it. He's back with a vengeance right now. They're not getting guys in on the Hall of Fame ballot, you know, first time around, like he they're in the Super Bowl. He's definitely on one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I love it. I love it. No, well, yeah, it's going to be a fun one. So DJ Nation fam, you know, we submitted our lineup again. Just to recap, it's Stefon Diggs at the captain, George Halani, Drake May, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Sam Darnold, and Elijah Arroyo in the flex there. So we got a nice 4-2 Seattle build going on. Again, if you want to, you know, hit us up for the build or see if any changes happen or come to fruition based on Elijah Arroyo status, you know what to do. You can find us on Twitter and X. Kevin, you can find him, the godfather of Fantasy Authority, the Fantasy Authority, that is. Don't forget the at Kevin, or Fantasy Rat 13 is where you can find Kevin Steele, myself, Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Alexander _W. DJ Nation fam, follow the Fantasy Authority at FF_Authority. We will catch you next year, as we always do. As long as there's DFS in the streets, you know you can always count on the DJ Nation pot. So we will catch you guys next year. We hope you guys have a joyous and profitable Super Bowl Sunday. Get after it. As you always know how we do, and we signed it off. You got to get this money. We'll see you next year. Peace. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man.